A husband and wife are sitting on the couch. The wife turns to the husband and says, "You weren't listening to a word I said." The husband responds, "That is a really odd way to start a conversation." Welcome to week two in a message series about life-giving words. Today's message is about how often those words of life are spoken by someone else, by others, and by God. To say it another way, we're talking about how important it is to listen well. Now, the bad news is many of us are not good listeners, and we don't know it. 96% of people report being an above average listener, and that math doesn't work out. Here's the struggle. When we don't listen, we don't know what we haven't heard. Let me say it again. When we don't listen, we don't know what we haven't heard. This became clear to me when one of my kids had some hearing problems. My son Luke had two major ear surgeries, and in the discovery in the process of him having some issues, then losing hearing, and then gaining them back taught us some things. He actually has prosthetic ear bones from the damage that happened in his ear. And so there was a time when he couldn't hear well, and now he hears a lot better. But here's the thing we learned. We didn't know what he was missing. And that's the thing with people with hearing loss. They don't know what they have missed because they didn't hear it. Now, that is true to some extent for all of us, which means there's a good chance that you're missing at least some, and maybe a lot, of some important things being said to you. Said another way, God is speaking words of life, and we don't always catch them. Maybe this is why Jesus began so many of his teachings with the phrase, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." Here are some reasons I think Jesus needs to get our attention. One is that we listen passively rather than actively. Who of us hasn't asked someone their name, heard their name spoken, but didn't catch it? And they're literally standing just feet away from us. They used words that were simple. It's not that hard, but still we missed it. And that's because your brain was doing something else. It was doing what it does most of the time. It was listening passively. Your ears are on all the time. You can't close them like your eyes. So your brain has to filter out a lot of useless information and background noise. Imagine not being able to do this at Christmas time with Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas" going on in the background. The holidays would be miserable. But it also means this listening passively. It also means that you have to learn how to tune back in to listen actively. And many of us were not taught to do this. Think about all the training that you had. Most of us in college had to take a public speaking course, but most of us probably did not have a class in active listening. We need to learn how to do this. Many of us were trained up very well in our profession, maybe don't know how to use listening as a tool. To listen actively, to shake our head, to give verbal cues that remind you and the other person that you're engaged, to repeat back what somebody has said to us, maybe even almost word for word, so that we can show that we've heard or clarify when maybe we haven't heard right. You know, most of us don't remember each other's names. And the truth is, I learned somewhere along the way, was that that's because we never set out to do so in the first place. We didn't know that the listening part was actually the most important part. And truly listening is an active thing. Those of us who have ears to hear need to hear. Now, as it turns out, it has been shown that the closer we feel to someone, the less likely we are to listen to them. The less likely we are to listen carefully to them. And there's a name for this. It is called the closeness communication bias. The closeness communication bias means that your brain tunes out people close to you because it thinks you already know what they're going to say. So the next time that you are accused of not listening to someone, maybe your spouse or someone close to you, you just tell them you didn't listen because you just love them so much. We listen to respond rather than to understand, which is another reason why we struggle to hear. We listen to respond rather than to understand. Most of us are bad listeners because we're too busy talking. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Still, many of us naturally go through life trying to make our voice heard. I remember when Jenny and I went through premarital counseling 25 years ago, and something our pastor said then that I have tried to remember since. He said, just remember that if the other person is yelling or raising their voice, it's because they don't feel like they are being heard. Have you ever caught yourself hoping that the other person who was talking would stop talking so that you could say the thing that you wanted to say? We do this all the time. Or maybe you butted in to get your point across into what they were saying. Or don't you hate it when you have something really important or a really funny thing to say in a conversation, but the conversation keeps going and it goes off in another direction and you have to bring your thing up 10 minutes later and it sort of misses the point? And chances are you didn't catch much of what the other person was saying in that time. This is why St. Francis taught us to pray, "Grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand." Trying to be understood comes naturally, but trying to understand takes intentionality. And that brings to, the third point of why we're not so good at listening. Real listening keeps us open. I'm convinced that the deeper reason most of us don't listen well is this: listening requires us to stay open. It takes energy. It is hard to be anxious and stressed and listen. And that's because anxiety causes us to focus our attention in certain areas and to ignore others. It causes us to feel stress, and that shuts down the more creative and open parts of our brains. Long-term stress can actually affect your hearing. But in the short term, anxiety and stress shut down not only our hearing, but those parts of our brains that help us be receptive to one another. Listening is one of the primary ways we get out of ourselves to do what Jesus called dying to self, because it places the other person's agenda above our own. Especially when we're anxious, we're bad at listening. We would rather kind of self-protect, to stay self-focused and secure and in control. And listening, by definition, causes us to focus on someone else, someone besides me. It gets me out of my secure place and out of control, not only of the conversation, but of the situation. There is a level of openness that is required to be a good listener, and some of us are afraid of what we will hear if we stop talking, if the noise stops. We're afraid to be open because we're fearful that those voices that come back to us will be voices of condemnation or rejection. Perhaps we're afraid we'll hear truths that we don't want to hear that might be hard to accept. Some of us have heard many voices telling us that we are worthless and that our lives don't have purpose. But there is another voice speaking only words of life. And at the foundation of this, real listening keeps us open to that voice. It means that we might hear things that we don't want to hear, but we can trust that the voice of God is speaking to us the very words of life that we need to hear. Real listening might keep us open, which means that we might change and we might be fearful of that. It might cause us to lower our pride and to let someone in. It might mean that we have to change, and all of that is scary. Staying open to God and to each other is scary, but it is the only way that we find the truth. And at the heart of that truth is God's love for us. It's the only way we grow in love. And this is why the Proverbs call us to intentional listening and seeking of wisdom. This is way more than just hearing more of what someone else has to say. It is really about remaining open to God speaking and to God speaking through one another. rather than going through life closed and shut down and having something to say, rather than going through and having the answers for everybody else, the Bible says it is wiser to take an open, listening, seeking stance in life so that we can catch what God is saying. And it's this listening life stance that we hear described in Proverbs 2:2. It's actually a call to this kind of life. It is the advice of an older person to a younger person, perhaps a father to a son or a teacher to a student. This proverb, Proverbs 2, is a series of life lessons about what kind of life is best. And it describes in great detail the promises and the potential of a listening life, the kind of life in which we search out and listen actively for the voice of God. It says in Proverbs 2:2, turn your ear toward wisdom. It says, apply your heart to understanding. The assumption here is that wisdom and understanding are worth searching for, worth being open to. They are, in fact, a treasure that is hidden in plain sight. And it's not that God is actually trying to hide his wisdom from us. No, it's more that we need to be in the place that we will have ears to hear it, because God is speaking words of life all the time. There is a wholeheartedness to this approach. It's not just passive listening here and there, though we might hear a bit of what God has to say. But how much more will we hear if we're listening actively or intentionally searching? So the proverb continues, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the reverence of the Lord. Proverbs 2 assumes this seeking is a process that requires our devotion, our discipline, our energy, our time. But over time, the benefits begin to show themselves. Proverbs 2 contains a lot of promises. When we hear God's words of life, we gain things like wisdom and understanding and discretion and prudence. We gain things like righteousness and justice and equity, which is the ability to choose fairly and to treat people equally, regardless of their status or their wealth or their relationship, to be fair like God is fair. Ultimately, it provides protection, the kind of guard and guidance that comes with a life of integrity as we begin to walk this path with God and find God guiding us along the way. It keeps us out of a lot of trouble. We begin to live and make our decisions with integrity. And we avoid going off on the wrong path. To hear God's voice above other voices and to follow that path that God leads us on is really what this listening life is about. Romans will later say it this way, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's good and perfect will. And so that protection, as we turn our ear to wisdom and apply our heart to understanding, if we seek God and God's voice as if we were looking for treasure, then God begins to reveal things to us that were there. In fact, we begin to hear things that keep us on the right path and out of trouble. There's a story told of a pastor and a priest who are standing by the side of a road with a sign for passing motorists. And the sign says, stop, turn around, take another road. Well, one driver who drove by didn't appreciate these religious nuts and their sign and their message. And so he shouted at them, leave us alone, you religious nuts. The car sped on, and then there was a big splash. At this point, the priest looks at the pastor and says, I told you that we just needed to put on the sign that the bridge is out. God will save us from going down the wrong road if we'll listen. And the truth is, we'll live better lives. We'll have more success, we'll prosper. And all of this is promised. It's promised in Proverbs 2. If we seek wisdom, we will find it. But this is not some kind of transaction between us and God. If we do this, then God has to do this. If we do this, then God is on the hook for this. No, it's not a formula that we can bottle. Instead, wisdom is gained not in a transactional way, but in a natural way, in a relational way. Wisdom is simply the natural outcome of a life of listening to God and to one another and for wisdom, for guidance. The result is good things, peace, and overall thriving. And so I can't think of a better proverb for us and for our time. We need these words of life. In fact, they're already being spoken to us. There's a story in John's gospel in which Jesus says some things and people begin to turn away and they stop following him. So Jesus turns to those disciples and says, "Are you going to leave too?" And Simon's response, Peter's response to him, is something that I think about a lot. He says to Jesus, "Lord, where else would we go? For you have the very words of life." I can think of no better proverb for this time, no better way of thinking about how to engage our world than this. We can trust that God is speaking, and that when we hear that voice, it takes us to good places. We can trust that when we stop talking and trying to force our answers on the world, that God's guidance is there. We can trust God to speak, and that those words will be words of life. And this is what we must seek out at all cost. Henry Nouwen was a priest and one of the most widely read spiritual writers of the 20th century. He also struggled in his life to trust God's voice. And at one point in his life, he bottomed out mentally, emotionally, in every way. The mixture of personal failure and loneliness and rejection and I think clinical depression probably led him to a dark time, which required daily counseling and weeks of intense care. And during those weeks, he kept a journal. And it was a recording of those messages that he was hearing from God as he was struggling to hear God's voice in that dark place. And he wrote that with no intention of publishing it. But many years later, his friends convinced him to do just that. And that book has been helpful to me. I read it during a dark time in my life several years ago. And the name of that book is this: The Inner Voice of Love. This is one thing Henry Nouwen says to himself and to us in that book. You will hear voices saying, "You are worthless. You have nothing to offer. You are unattractive, undesirable, unlovable." The more you sense God's call, the more you will discover in your own soul the cosmic battle between God and Satan. Do not be afraid. Keep deepening your conviction that God's love for you is enough, that you are in safe hands, and that you are being guided every step of the way. Don't be surprised by the demonic attacks. They will increase, but as you face them without fear, you will discover that they are powerless. I mentioned earlier that this proverb was likely written to a young person from an older person imparting wisdom. And so part of the teaching is an acknowledgement that we can do a lot of things with our life, and that it is important to pick our direction carefully and to think about where we're going to place our energy. It makes me think of those times that we had with our kids when they were young, especially our boys, and all the physical energy that they had. Jenny and I knew that we needed to channel in that energy and use it for good rather than for destructive things. Where will that energy go for us? Demanding to be heard or listening well? Makes me think of a story that helped me when that was happening with us, when our sons, especially our boys, were needing some energy to burn. And we got into swimming. And I remember thinking we were on the right track because I heard an interview with Michael Phelps's mother. And the way I remember it, the reporter was asking a question and said, "How did you know that he had this talent?" And she said, "Oh, honey, I just needed that energy to go somewhere. I needed to channel that in a positive direction." Maybe this is a word for us as well. we have a lot of energy and maybe some nervous energy. We have a lot of potential in our lives, and we get to decide where that energy will go, where it will take us. And listening intently and gaining wisdom are worth the effort. It's worth channeling our energy in this way. They are just that powerful, and they take us in a certain constructive direction. Otherwise, we will use our energy trying to be heard, trying to be in control, trying to force our own agenda on life, trying to go about life giving the answer. But listening opens you up not just to someone else's words, but to God's words of life that you and I so desperately need to hear. Listening is one of the primary ways we stay open to other people. Listening communicates whether or not we truly care about each other. And so David Augsburger says this, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. This is our challenge this week, to lead with listening, to love with listening, to begin our conversations praying in this way, for God to speak. In fact, to say, God, I know that you are speaking. Let me hear, so that I might hear words of life. I thought we might close together with that prayer of St. Francis that I mentioned earlier. If you would, just join me in the words on the screen. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And so we remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he spoke to us words of life, a way to remember in an ongoing way the self-giving love of God through his son Jesus. We remember that on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, again gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Today, as we come to communion, I invite you to get into a listening stance, to maybe find yourself comfortable wherever you are and to take in a deep breath and to listen in these moments for the inner voice of love, claiming you, calling you, speaking words of life to you, so that in the end you find there's nothing to fear, but only a God ready to receive you and to give his life for you, so that you might also give your life to others, to engage God and one another in this listening stance, so that together we might hear words of life. Let's pray together. God, would you pour out your Holy Spirit on us in these moments and on these gifts of bread and cup? May they be for us an experience of the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let's share in communion together.